Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. I'm also CEO of Mage LLC, the management consulting firm. And I want to thank our friends over at The Social Scene. If you don't have The Social Scene, take a look at socialscene.me and learn where our social life and your social life is going in the next millennial. And my co-host, as he's giggling away, is Peter Meyerson from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Meyerson, and Plout.
Always great to be here, Jeff. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter. You know, this is a guest where I have trouble turning the mics on because I'm so busy talking to him with them off. It's our Breaking Barriers reporter. It's Robert Treston of the Anti-Defamation League, ADL. Welcome to our show.
Great to be back here.
Thanks. So much going on in the news that I read every day about hate and where it's going. You want to talk to us about that?
Yeah, we are definitely seeing a surge, and that's why you're reading about it, that's why you're seeing it online, and that's why it's making headlines on CNN. The environment in which we live in this country, and in fact globally, is changing dramatically. And we are seeing a surge in anti-Semitism here in Massachusetts, but globally and across the country. People who are, some of the traditional hate mongers, whether they're attacking Muslims, Jews, Christians, or people who are gay, they're coming out of the woodwork.
Right. This is their time. They've been waiting for a long time, and it seems like it's the style for some people to come out and express hatred.
Why do you think they're coming out now?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One of them is just the whole political environment. And we're seeing in many ways a mainstreaming of hate. And so when young kids see people who are running for the highest office in the country, or even leaders in their own communities using Holocaust analogies, being critical in very hateful ways and using offensive language, it basically sends a message, you know what, it's okay to do this. And when they say people on TV, on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, posting, pretty disgusting photos, creating memes of officials, and calling them out because of their race, their religion, or their skin color, it opens the door. And, some of the people running for office, Trump is one of them. Some of the language that he uses encourages others to do the same.
But you can't put the genie back in the bottle. I think the question really is, I happen to agree.
America became more civil after the McCarthy era.
Well,
it became more tolerant after the McCarthy era.
Or did the haters just go more underground? That's the question.
That's a good question.
Well, some of the haters have been here all along. The internet has changed dramatically, and it has allowed people who hate to connect with one another in a way that pre-internet they never were able to. And so now they're actually able to communicate, they're able to plan.
To be a group.
Yeah.
Posse.
In some ways they're an affinity group, but they're able to disseminate their message and communicate with one another and be more organized than they ever were before.
Well, it's interesting to listen. I'm sure you're familiar with the event that occurred in, wherever it was, San Francisco or Los Angeles, where the skinheads, were going to protest. And a whole group of counter-protesters, anti-Nazis, as it were, showed up. The skinheads are going to have vowed to show up in Cleveland to, protect the Trump supporters. And could this have happened without the internet?
But those type of confrontations have happened in the past. It's not that uncommon. Even here locally, when the Westboro Baptist Church was very active, they would come to, come do a protest. You have to remember that very often the neo-Nazis or the people that are sort of counterintuitive to everything that we value, they're usually a small number, but they tend to attract a large number of counter-protesters, and it ends up being a prescription for violence.
What bothers me, Bob, and maybe this isn't what you wanted to cover, it's the student. It's the high school student. It's the college student. You know, when I went to college, I thought of myself, and you and I grew up in the same area. I just thought the world was free, and it was an integrated society, accepting of difference, and classrooms were filled with the discussions around acceptance, around difference, and a new sort of world order in that time. It was a different generation, I understand. But today, I know students are scared about not just their identity being public, but even being in public places, where they're walking in a school, where they're being, you know, who they're walking near in a school, who they're eating near in a school. Students are scared.
Well, I can tell you that one of the, you know, at the Anti-Defamation League, we do an audit of anti-Semitic incidents every, we've been doing it for decades. And we noticed this year, of mid-May, we started looking at our numbers for 2016. And typically, we don't release our numbers till much later in the year. And we noticed this year that school-based incidents, particularly in Massachusetts, on anti-Semitism, talking about, were skyrocketing. And in fact, our numbers for the first 5 months of 2016 in tracking of anti-Semitic incidents in Massachusetts are already more than in all of 2015. And we're seeing a tremendous surge of school-based incidents. And we really wanted to raise the level of awareness, because it goes to the point of, can you put the genie back in the bottle? We may not be able to put the genie back in the bottle, but we can focus our efforts on kids in school. Because they are actually, you know, they're
impressionable.
But their behavior, whether it's in school or on the playground or on the school bus, they learned it somewhere. And some of it may come from home, some of it may come from this, you know, this political environment, some of it may come from the devices that they're so connected to. So that's our best shot. Our best shot at the future and our best shot at changing things right now is not going to be with some of the adults who are coming to cause trouble at a Trump rally.
Not a 45-year-old skinhead.
But it's the impressionable middle and high school kids. We need to put our efforts
on
working with them.
I've always believed you deal with the seed before it's a tree, and while it's still growing.
Great analogy, Jeff.
Right, and you know we're not going to go out there and deal with hate by cutting the tree down, because that's dealing with hate with hate. I think what we have to do is get to the seed and create a different philosophy with those students. I agree with you 100%.
So we have ADL. My predecessor, Lenny Zakim, 1985-87, started the World Difference Education Institute. And we've been running programs in Massachusetts schools on anti-bias education, not just anti-Semitism, but all isms, for decades. And we're seeing a surge. We're going to be hosting a summer institute for teachers, for new schools in Montpelier in 3 weeks. And we have over 30 new teachers coming together in Vermont to get prepared for when the kids go back to school in September, so that they can really start to implement some of these programs and work with the kids.
How do you measure? I mean, I always worry about when you talk about, you know, reported incidents. I mean, I think there are times when people just simply don't report. And I think people tend to report more now than they used to. So, I mean, have you ever tried?
Well, you know what, the report, you know, the reality is, it's a snapshot. You know, whether you're looking at crime stats or you're looking at our audit, they are snapshots into time. I think the level of awareness, particularly here locally, has been increasing. And the more people are reading about it, you know, the reporting is not a bad thing, because it actually tells us that people are starting to feel confident that if I go and report something, maybe someone's going to do something about it. And even if you look at hate crimes, let's just take LGBTQ hate crimes. You know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, reporting was way down because people were afraid to report. If I report this, no one's going to do anything, so I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Or I have to expose myself. I mean, that was really the point I was making, yeah.
You know, that's interesting, and I think Peter's point. I was out for dinner a month ago with a couple that I like a lot, and the woman said to me, I know you can tell me, Jeff, there's a lot more recorded incidences of anti-Semitism, but is it really up from 20 years ago? Is it just that people are recording it more? That was her impression. She said, because I've never heard about anti-Semitism. She goes, but I do live in a bubble. And I go, yeah, you're in a bubble, all right.
Look, it's a fair point. I will. If you look at the FBI hate crime statistics, forget about, you know, an audit or what, you know, what schools are reporting. If you look at the hate crime stats, and you look at the the categories of how they count hate crimes, there is a category for religion. So, and when you look at the spectrum, for pretty much the last 20 years, religion-based hate crimes, Jews have been the number one category. So for religion-based hate crimes in the United States, Jews historically have always been in the 60 to 65% of all hate crimes as the most targeted religion. Yeah. Now we're starting to see in the last year some increase in Muslims, but it's nowhere near the percentage that we've seen historically for Jews.
And do you go deeper into the psychographic of the person, why it's increasing, why do they feel they need to express their hate, where it's coming from?
Well, that's there are a lot of analysis for that, Jeff, and some of it just comes from an upbringing, comes from
right.
a home, and some of it, you know, there are a lot of reasons that people want to carry out. But you know what? The great thing about the United States is you can believe anything you want. You're actually free to hate anyone you want. It's protected right in this country.
Right.
And you can say, you can't say what you want. But the problem is when people start acting it out. And so when people act out, I'll give you an example here. We've seen a real spike in incidents at synagogues in Massachusetts that have been targeted. And frankly, we've seen in the last 6 months churches as well, and some mosques. In Burlington, Massachusetts, a synagogue, a mosque, and a church have all been vandalized, you know, in the last 12 months. So people are taking out their hatred in a criminal way. They're going after places of worship or places where we bury our dead, very deeply personal places. And that's where it's a crime. That's where you cross the line.
Sad and painful to listen to.
I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I would say, you know, my wife and I pay a lot of attention to Southern Poverty Law, and they actually do a calculus on the number of groups rather than the hate crimes. And I would say their calculus of the number of groups, you know, validates or at least supports, you know, what your conclusions are with the number of crimes. It's just an incredible number more of hate groups out there.
So let's be proactive.
Yeah,
we have to be proactive.
In our last little bit of time, someone listens, they're concerned, they may agree or disagree, but they may want to become an advocate for working towards positive change. What do people do if they want to work towards positive change?
Well, for one thing, they can certainly reach out to us at the ADL office in Boston, 617-406-6300, or our main website, adl.org. But you know what? If you have kids in a school and you're interested in a school-based program, we're operating these programs now in over 60 schools. And the schools, the feedback we get from the schools is it has a dramatic impact, a real positive impact in changing school culture to prevent these things from happening and encouraging kids to stand up for one another, because that's what we want them to do when they graduate and get into the community.
Well, to your left, you have my producer, Chris Gerald, who's told me three times he wants to get involved. So you got
okay, Chris,
you have yourself a soldier. You have a soldier. Right, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's in. If somebody else wants to be like Chris, and everybody should want to be like Chris, how do they find you?
617-406-6300. It's our ADL Boston main number, or online at adl.org. You can reach out to us, and we will get back to you. And we need more soldiers like Chris.
We need Chris. Right. Good, Chris. Thanks for being on the show. You'll be on again next month. We're not going to stop you. We want you back.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Speaking with Robert Treston, ADL, Anti-Defamation League. Don't be part of the silent majority that's concerned. Get involved. Make an impact and have your voice heard. Thank you, Peter Myerson, my co-host.
That's a great way to say it, Jeff. Bob, thank you very much.
I mean, I'm trying in my way. I'm always trying. It's a big part of my life. You know, you got to fight that trend. You got to stand.
If we don't try, then we're essentially giving up, and we just simply can't do that. We owe it to the community and to our kids.
The majority cannot be silent to a noisy minority. Good. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.